Welcome to Social Geek Radio. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Thank you for tuning in to Social Geek Radio. This is Deb Evans.
And Jack Munson. How you doing tonight, Deb?
It is so good, Jack. I can't even explain it. I mean, you can't even tell you how good it is. It's just, it's great.
Well, I'm waiting for your Geek It Out segment because at some point today I received something that I think is from your Geek It Out app that you found.
Yes.
And it appeared to be a picture of Deb Evans in a Batman costume.
Yeah, it was Batman. Batgirl. So, you know, thinking about our guest tonight and the age of the audience that our guest, Jack Campisi, works with, and we'll let Jack out of the green room in a minute. So I was thinking of teenagers and, you know, what's their fun, favorite thing to do these days? It's probably a lot like what you like to do, Jack Munson. You like to take selfies all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You're just a selfie fiend. Yeah. So I found this selfie app, which, you know, I mentioned last week, I use Snapchat for selfies because it's got filters and it's some fun things to do with it. But here's an app that takes, it's Showcase app for masquerade face tracking and 3D face placement. It is called, the URL is msqrd.me. So it's, you know, short for masquerade. And it is available both for the iOS and those other phones that people tend to use. I don't understand why.
Right.
When you, and it is strictly for selfies. So you've got just an array of selfie filters that you can use. I used the one with the Batman. There's the tiger or a lion. It's buggy eyes. You can have red hair, whatever you want to do. But you can take the picture or you can take a video, and it very easily uploads to all of our favorite social platforms, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. But it really, all it really is a free selfie app that records video selfie animations. I just love it.
And like the Batman photo that you took, mm-hmm. I assume there's other licensed characters,
yes,
and movie characters and cartoon characters and that kind of thing.
They're
right?
Cartoon characters. I haven't seen a lot of things similar to like Batman yet, but my guess is that they're coming. It looks a lot like Snapchat. So whoever came out with it first, I don't know, like a panda face or there's one that looks like you've got a box over your head. There's an astronaut one that's really
that's the one for me. The one with the box over his head. That's for me. Perfect.
The astronaut's really cool. So if you're wearing the space helmet, and if you tip your head left or right or forward, the shield goes down. You just have to really play with it. It's just, I sent it to my niece earlier today, and she was just loving the astronaut because it's just really cool.
Right. It's because we all need something more that we need to do to spend more time taking selfies.
Right. You know, whatever.
So I will check it out. I love the Batman one. The Batman one sold me right
there.
Yeah,
I just sent the picture. I should have said, I did a video for you too, and I forgot to send that one, but it's like, hey, Jack, I'm Batman.
All right. Well, we'll check it out. And that was already a much better performance than Ben Affleck right there. So,
okay.
So we'll check it out. It was MSQRD or Masquerade.
Correct.
On the iOS
app store.
So,
yes, sir.
Cool. Great. Well, one other thing that I wanted to mention too, it's, this is, I guess officially our anniversary show. It's the sixth anniversary of Social Geek Radio, all 6 years with Deb Evans. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Hard to believe.
And, it's going on 7 years, imagine. So, like we've done in the past with some of the anniversary shows, we love to have an old friend join us for an anniversary show. It's just that much more special. So one of our old friends from, as I like to say, the early days of social media is joining us tonight. It's our old friend Jack Campisi, who's joining us from the great state of Connecticut. And Jack is now working with a company called the Bleachers Corporation, and was going to stop in tonight to talk about creating communities around schools. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, Jack.
Hello, my friends, and happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. Good to have you with us.
It's funny you have me on after talking about selfies, because I think I've annoyed most every person I've connected to.
See? I knew you needed this app, so you're going to you probably downloaded it already. So, you know, play around with it after the show. It's really cool.
I also think the last business trip I did a long time ago with Jack was we ended the trip at a comic book store and both bought Batman comic books.
There you go.
No way.
Yeah, you bet. So I think you should check out the Batman selfie photo as well. I think that would be a perfect Facebook profile photo for you, Jack.
Oh, as soon as I hang up, I'm going.
or you?
I think we lost him there for a second.
Yeah, I think we did.
Are you still with us?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Okay, good.
Yeah,
he was so excited about that Batman selfie. So there he went. So. But great having you tonight, Jack. Tell us a little bit about the Bleachers Corporation and the kinds of work that you guys are involved in.
Oh, absolutely. So I work at one of those places that when people hear where I work at, they just say, oh, my God, that's so cool. So essentially, we're a company that helps schools and other institutions build communities and improve engagement. And the way that we do that is through video streaming and video content. So the simple, one-line, boring, generic way to say what we are, we're an enterprise video streaming partner for schools. The cooler ways to describe it is we're Netflix for high schools. We're a content generation machine for a school. We're steroids for a development department.
Okay.
I love it. Anytime you can describe your business and use the word Netflix, we're the Netflix of whatever, I think you're totally on to something.
Yep.
So if you're the Netflix for schools, what kinds of first of all, what kind of schools are actually doing this kind of stuff? Because this seems so foreign to me, but so absolutely cool that schools are doing this sort of thing. So what types of schools do you work with? Is it really big high schools? Is it like a whole school system, or what types of situations are you in?
We work with all size and shape schools, but the real focus is the primary focus would be private high schools, and or private schools for lower school. But mainly if they go up into the high schools, the more value we can bring to them. That's not to say that we don't work with public schools, but private schools are, you know, have to fundraise, have to stay in touch with their alumni, have to recruit, you know. So while we can certainly help a public school and public entities, the private school market is really where we started, and we're also, you know, expanding into Australia, and we've done other work outside of schools. We're doing soccer from the Cayman Islands this week.
Wow.
That is cool.
We've got our tentacles everywhere, but really my focus is working with private high schools. And basically we're a customized platform that the school provides to their community. So the parents, the families get an account at no cost to them. They set up an account. They go to a Bleachers page that's customized for their school. They set up a password. They log in, and during football season, all their home games are going to be covered by Bleachers because we've installed cameras on their football field. We've installed cameras in their gym. We've installed cameras in their theater. And we've got camera operators back in what we call the pit. And we've got an army of what we call game producers, which are high school and college kids using Xbox controllers to control state-of-the-art cameras. And we're following games remotely with pan-tilt zoom cameras, which are phenomenal. The quality is amazing. So we're we're providing the hardware, we're providing the manpower, the software, the platform, so that the parents, the students, the alumni can log in and watch anything from a football game to a guest speaker to a show or an assembly remotely live or later on demand. So as the years go by, all these games are being archived, and I think sometimes more of our value is the fact that if a parent can't make it to the game or to the show, they can watch it later.
Right.
Time they want.
Well, you know, so many
parents. What about, like, I think you were going to say, like, parents that can't be there that
right,
day.
Right.
Or maybe dad lives in another town. Or what about grandparents? Can other family members access this material as well?
Yeah, and grandparents is actually a magic word in this whole equation because
love that word.
You know, grandparents is I get to work for a product that has instant return on investment for a school because I'm the guy who's been on the phone with a grandparent trying to figure out how to use an iPad, and it's, you know, half the time I'm not explaining our software, I'm explaining the iPad to them first, and then getting them online, and then that magic moment when they're like, oh, I see it, Jack, thank you so much, after, you know, 20 minutes of which button to push, and no, that's not a button, and all that, and, you know, the sound of the happiness on their voice, and then eventually, I can't tell you how many people have invited me to Thanksgiving dinner. so Jack is a place for you here anytime, you're the best. But, you know, from a school's perspective, they know who the parents are. They know who the students are. But they don't always know the grandparents, who they are. So now this is a way to make a connection with the grandparent. And who knows, a grandparent might be somebody that wants to donate a couple of bucks to the school.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go. Because your grandparents today, speaking of myself, you know, we're the ones who have maybe a little bit extra time, but we also have a little bit extra cash that we want to make sure that our grandchildren have a little bit more than our kids did in school. So, yeah, tapping that grandparent base for funding and getting them involved because most live so far away, great idea. I'm going to have a grandchild that's going to be far away, and I'm hoping that when he is in high school, I'm going to be able to watch some of those games through the use of technology. So
we set a permissioning. Every school has their own customized way of doing things, but based on a few ways we can set it up. So some schools are very, very private, and so they'll give us a list of names, and only these people can set up an account.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to protect their privacy a little bit more. But those people, they'll give us a list of the parents and the alumni and the students. But those people can add other viewers to their account. So Uncle Jack can get onto his niece's account so he can see graduation or the play she's in or the grandparents or the, you know, whoever. Other schools have what we call an open door policy, and anybody can set up an account for their school. And, you know, you don't have to be on a list. And we have a football powerhouse in New Jersey, Bergen Catholic, who a dream client. Dan Long, their football announcer, is someday going to be on Monday Night Football. And he's just, you know, adds this element to their broadcast. But, you know, a Bergen Catholic game can break the Internet. There's so many people logging on to those games. And they're like, no way. We want as many people as possible to watch this. So they're getting eyeballs. They're sending out press releases. They're alumni from all over the country and all over the world are watching this. And other people who are just fans of football can watch their stuff. So there's you know, middle ground in between where some schools, you know, will have private events or public events and things. So, you know, we can respect the tone that a school wants to set with that kind of thing.
Well, you know, so many of your private schools, and you mentioned New Jersey, and I know, you know, several of those private schools in the Jersey area, you know, they're always looking for funding. I can see where working with you guys to broadcast events with commercials or whatever it might be really helps to build that community, and certainly that those funds that they need to keep those schools, running.
Yeah. So we have analytics behind, so we can tell people who watched what. So you can look at look somebody up and see exactly what they viewed, or we can tell you what your top 100 events were and how it did live versus how it did on demand. And, the question that always comes up, and, we've all done social media for so long, I equate it to when people are stressing out about how many Facebook or Twitter followers they have. And I believe it was Seth Godin who was talking about how, I don't care if you have a million Twitter followers, if I write a book and nobody buys it, or if I ask them to do something and nobody does it, who cares? But if I have 100 followers that are rabid fans, that's worth their weight in gold. And the same thing here, great big numbers are great, obviously. But when you're talking about a JV field hockey game, there may be only 3 or 4 viewers on a Wednesday afternoon. How many people would actually be in the stands for that game? But was it the parent of that kid who watches every single game? Did that mean so much to them? Do they have a brother or sister that they're thinking of sending to private school as well? Well, now I can watch one kid. I'm going to send my other kid here because I can watch all their games. All that kind of stuff comes into play. So, the metrics, they can start making data-based decisions, or they can start to engage certain pockets of alumni or parents. If they see somebody as a rabid football fan, they might send them something football-related.
Yeah, sure. Or engage with them in some other social space about a specific sport or something like that. And I'm sitting here thinking, in the college football mode of the world of scouting, right? and if you think of the example you gave of the school in New Jersey that has open access, imagine someday all of the scouts and college coaches and all of these folks being able just to dial into a live football game, 5 states away and not having to schlep their people all around the place on Friday nights. There's a lot of very cool things happening there.
Well, along those lines, we often get asked for digital downloads of games so kids can share them with scouts, or we'll help a kid make a highlight reel. We'll give them clips so that they can make a highlight reel for, or a parent will call up, hey, I was watching, and can you give me clips from my kid's goals or things like that? So, there's the live and on-demand viewing, but then there's those digital recordings can now turn into clips and highlight reels that can be used for scouting or for a kid who's trying to get into a school, or take it the other way. We stream open houses and other events for potential students and parents from the school. So sometimes they'll ask us, we have a public event for people who aren't actually going to our school yet.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. Some of the other types of content outside of just football games and maybe some other sports, you do assemblies and announcements and open houses and all kinds of other things, too, with some of these schools, I assume.
Yeah, and that's why I use the term it's a content generation machine. And I've done social media work with large companies and small local companies, and a lot of what you start off with is, how do you use Twitter? How do you use Facebook? How do you use whatever platform? And there's all that. And then there's this generic term of, meaningful content. At the heart of it is, does your content entertain people? Does it inform people or educate them? Is it useful for them? Would they want to share it? Are they seeking it out? Well, here you have the most meaningful content you can imagine. You've got, that's my kid or that's me scoring a goal. So here's a few examples of things that we do with content. And this is kind of how I work with the school. So when they come on board, we're helping them with everything from the technology. It's like taking your car to get oil, your oil changed. You could do it yourself. It's going to take all day, and you're going to end up with a leak. Or you could take it to us, and we'll take care of everything, and you just worry about driving. So with us, we have all this content, and then I'll work with schools as to what can we do with this content. So with one of our schools, there was their 100th anniversary of hockey. So we went through all the games we have on file, pulled out a bunch of great plays, created a highlight reel of that. Then they sent us just like a pile of digital video, photos, press clippings and things. And we put together a short video that was a tribute to the 100 years of hockey. We played it during the stream, like during between periods and things like that. And then they also posted it on their webpage and used it in like a newsletter or something. They did a variety of things with it, but I know that the feedback that came back was that video drove, you know, the hits on their website and just thrilled people. So clearly not just highlight reels because people don't want to take time to watch a whole game. You know, it's nice to just get a 2-minute recap of a game, but now, you know, recapping a whole season or adding it to another, you know, mixing it with photos and other things, you know, you're adding to the quality of other pieces that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have another school. They had an alumni weekend. So they did a lot of targeted advertising to their alumni, inviting them to come watch online. And to be honest, I don't remember how many people actually logged on, because the bang for the buck they really got out of this was there was a number of events that went on that day, including an alumni hockey game and basketball game. So we grabbed clips from all the different things that happened, and then we gave them this video, and there were some great shots of like all the alumni joking around and scoring and running and being out of breath, and one hockey goal where a guy falls down, gets back up on his skates, and scores a goal. I think that's how we ended the video. And then there was a group photo for a basketball game. So, you know, a lot of people don't want to watch, 2 hours of a hockey game, but they love that 2-minute video. So that 2-minute sure. video gets people to open up their newsletter now or to come to their website and maybe share it on Twitter or share it on Facebook to other people. So it becomes this instantly, you know, shareable piece of content.
Very cool. Jack, is this a very new sort of platform and type of community building that's going on with the Bleachers Corporation? Has this been around for a while, or is this still fairly new?
Bleachers has been doing this for, I believe it's 5 or 6 years now. I've been there 2 years.
Okay.
And I have to say that we've come a long way in the past 2-3 years. Technology's really jumped. We've learned a lot, and we've improved our technology, and, you know, we're pretty much the only place where you're going to get a full-service partner and not just, self-service tools kind of thing.
Right.
Do this.
What kind of trends do you see happening in the future? Do you see you guys and maybe schools that are doing some of these types of things on their own or in other fashion, are people getting into other types of things? Are they using different technologies to share the video and images? Or, you know, what do you see as far as upcoming trends?
One of the things I see is more classroom stuff. And, you know, there's already, you know, educational software that, you know, is two-way learning and stuff. And not so much that, but we work with a lot of very wealthy and prestigious schools. And there's a lot of schools out there that don't have as much resources. And so there's been talk of maybe some of these elite schools could share content with some of the schools that could use a hand and maybe adopt them and you know, let kids watch a lecture or watch a teacher or a guest speaker or do some kind of sharing with content that way. The Catholic schools that we work with have talked about creating a network with a lot of the different other Catholic schools where they could, you know, share not only, you know, all of their games and events, but now you have this whole network of guest speakers and sermons and masses and things like that that people can share. And so, you know, that the community between the sort of brother and sister schools can really be built up. So I see a lot of what can we do in the classroom. And we even have, you know, we give the schools the ability to use an iPad in some situations as a remote camera. So we have one school right here in Connecticut that is always the one example I use, that they use the iPad a lot. The Halloween parade or the Mayfair, where the kids are dancing around this pole with the ribbons and stuff, or the science fair was the best use of it I've ever seen, where the teacher went around with the iPad and every kid went to every booth, and the kid got to say what they were doing and show things lighting up or, you know, whatever it was. So you got kind of the pulse of the school, a day in the life of the school, live streamed and then naturally available online. What parent's not going to love that, or grandparent?
Yeah, and I love that too, because it can make, you know, the kids that are in the science fair look like rock stars too. It isn't just the football players, right? It's you know, kids who are involved in all different types of things. So, very, very cool stuff. If somebody is interested in sort of moving their school into this sort of thing, and maybe they don't have the big budget yet, but it's something that they're working on, what's sort of a good place to start? What types of things should they look to start filming or gathering content on?
Well, that's a great question. First of all, I'm really glad you mentioned that every kid's important, because that's at the heart of what we're talking about, is whether you're the starting football quarterback, or you're the third oboe, or the parent of that kid, the grandparent of that kid, to them, that's why they're tuning in. They're not tuning in to watch the game. They're tuning in to watch their kid. And that's why the video clips are so important, because the parents are showing up to watch the kid, and through the platform, they're starting to make an emotional connection with the school because the relationship is going to grow, because they keep coming back and visiting, and now they're learning the other kids' names. They're getting value back for the tuition that they're paying. The emotional and return on investment for every kid is just second to none. There's two ways to answer your last question about how to get started. If you are a bleachers, thinking about getting into bleachers, you know, I like to have the Chinese menu. If you can order a full meal with appetizers, dinner and dessert and drinks, or you could just get one thing now and order other stuff later. So when we're talking to schools, we'll be like, you know what, you know, you might want to pick like your core four, as we call it, and maybe it's the gym, the football field, the chapel, and the theater. Or what's most important to you? Maybe it's just the hockey rink. Maybe it's just the gym. Maybe it's just the pool to start. Or maybe it's one or two. Or some schools are like, no, we don't want to offer field hockey without offering soccer, because we want everybody to get represented. Another school says, we can't afford it now, so we're gonna offer football as the big attraction here. And then next year, hopefully, somebody can donate, or we can raise money and get, you know, funding for the next thing. So it all depends on the threshold of your budget, but you don't have to do it all at once. People are going to be thrilled with a small offering if you can't afford to jump in all the way. If you're not a bleacher school, the way to get started on this is to get an iPhone and iMovie and video things more often and crowdsource content, if you know, and get kids are your your minions for content generation.
Yeah.
Get them out there, take pictures and take videos and curate it and then share it, you know. And that's, let's face it, on Facebook, what do you click on? You click on videos and photos. So, if it's about you, you're more likely to share it. Or if it's going to, everybody here gets a certain satisfaction from getting likes. What's going to get likes, you know, to your, you know, if you're all going to the same school, that's going to be a good like bait.
Right, absolutely. This is Social Geek Radio, and tonight we're speaking with Jack Campisi, who's the Director of Communications and Partnerships at the Bleachers Corporation. Jack, in the couple of minutes we have left, if people have additional questions for you, or they'd like to learn a little bit more about what you're doing, what's the best way for people to reach you?
My Twitter is at Jack Campese. My work email would be jcampese@gobleachers.com. My personal email is jackcampese@yahoo.com.
Jack, I'm gonna ask you to give us those again one more time.